This morning our message is Faith Revealed, Victories and Defeats, or it can also be entitled The Faith of the Judges. And we're looking in the New Testament in Hebrews. As I've stated before, the New Testament is conceived in the old and revealed, the old is revealed in the new. So both the Old and New Testament writers draw from both books, the Old and the New. And it's very significant that as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, that the writer, whoever the writer is of Hebrews, not named, but it could be a companion of Paul's, could be an Apollos, or could have been any of the other disciples or writers that God chose to use to write the book of Hebrews, which is an important book of the New Testament, of the 27 books. And in studying this particular chapter, I've learned a lot from what I already knew that has enriched my life. And when we're looking at faith in our lives, and no matter what the circumstances are, the oppressors or the walls in our lives, they can come down. God is able to empower us and lift us up in every situation. And as we will see in these heroes of faith, the judges that are mentioned, there's so many that's not mentioned here in Hebrews, as I've read and studied through these, because through the Old Testament and the New, that's not here, but it's not because they're not important. But these are the ones that were placed here because they had specific roles in life, and they fulfilled that, and they earned the right to be in the Hero of Faith, a Hall of Fame of the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. So if you'll follow along with me, the three verses here this morning is starting with verse 32. And what more shall I say? That's what the writer is saying. He's talking about all the others that he has mentioned up to this point. And then what more can I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. And of course, Daniel wasn't mentioned here, right? But we know who that was, shut the mouths of lions. And then verse 34, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from the weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. And I'll be sharing about this right here in a few minutes of these that are mentioned here briefly. But I want to, in the second part of this message, the achievements of faith, the focus won't be so much on them, because I'm going to share that in the first part of the men of faith. But the application that we can apply in our lives because of what we know about these great heroes of faith. Because we look at them, we study them, we see what they do and how God used them, and how God in the same way can use us. Maybe not in the same row of life as warriors or kings or even border chiefs, kings and rulers or of such, but God has placed us and put us in a role of our own life in serving Him. And that's the second part. I want us to look at the application, how it works in our life, the same way the faith that worked through these. So here, as kind of, I want to, as an introduction, The writer looks back at people and events of history, and God brings memory, the names after name, the event after event of these heroic people. Now, God brings to memory of these. So having taken us through a period of the patriarchs, which we've studied, and the time of the conquest of the Promised Land, and that was very important for the Hebrew people, Israelites, we now move through the time of the judges. And before the king, for King Saul, King David were judges. They didn't have a king. Israel didn't have a king because they weren't ready for a king. God had to prepare their lives. They was in exile for a long, long time because of their disobedience. And, you know, if God put us in exile every time we was disobedient, we'd be in there all the time, wouldn't we? They was in there 400 years, and finally God saw fit to release them because their prayers went up to heaven, and God honored them through Moses, their deliverer. So we now move through the time of the judges and the kings and the prophets to show that faith in God is the goal of Israel's entire history. It really is. So faith can operate in the life of any person who will listen to God's word and dare to surrender to his will. See, we have to surrender to God's will. If we don't surrender or yield our will or our spirit to God, then we're not usable. So let's look at the biblical heroes that come and their achievements. So first of all, the men of faith. First of all, in verse 32, names these men of faith. And the first one is Gideon. I tell you what, I don't know how many times I read and reread and read and reread this story about Gideon, and I've read it, I don't know how many times, but preparing for this message, I don't know, I must have read it 5, 6, 7, or 8 times, just over and over and over, because it was such that how God worked in his life. See, like David, he was the youngest of the siblings of his family. He was the youngest, just like David was the youngest. He chose the youngest because he knew their hearts. He knew their zeal to serve God. And it's just amazing how God used Gideon and it by faith. With 300 men, he destroyed countless multitudes and the Midianites and Ammonites and delivered Israel from oppression and slavery. And these are the three chapters I read. Judges 6, 7, and 8. So if you want to know the story of how God worked through Gideon through this, read Judges 6, 7, and 8. Again, I read that over and over and over to get it fresh in my mind because I saw things and God revealed things to me that I guess I'd missed before. But when you look at Gideon's life and when God called him to go and overtake the Midianites and Malachites, started with 32,000 soldiers. And then God narrowed it down to 22, and then 10, and then ended up with 300. You know how God chose or told Gideon to choose the ones? He took them down to the water. And those who lapped water with their tongue, he sent them home. There was 300 left. You know how they drank water? They gupped it up with their palms of their hand. And while they was doing that, they was looking over their shoulders. And God said, those are your men. Those are your men. And then he broke them up in three groups. 100 each. And it's amazing how God used it. And Gideon listened to him. So, And it says in Judges chapter 7, verse 12, that the enemy, by contrast, were as numerous as the locusts, and their camels were without number, as numerous as the sands of the seashore. So have you ever tried to count the sand on the seashore? You can't do it. So that's what the writer here is talking about. There was many, many thousands of these, the enemies that was rising up against them. Yet Gideon's men were outfitted only with trumpets and clay pitchers and with torches. And when it came time, God gave Gideon the information, told him exactly what to do. He said, tell them to blow their trumpets and break their clay pitchers, which they put their torches in there, and they smashed them. And he told them to shout, the sword for the Lord and the sword for Gideon. And how this came about, when they did that, Midianites and Kadmonites, they turned on each other because they were confused and frightened. And they turned on their own men, and the Israelites, of those that were surrounding the camp, just stood and watched what took place. And then they ran. They took flight. So, isn't it amazing how the faith of those that 300 over thousands and thousands of the enemy and God prevailed because of faith. Their faith. They followed God's command. And then now we see the faith of Barak. He served with Deborah, another judge of Israel, in conquering the army of the general of Sisera from Hazor. And I'm not going to go into the details on that, but you can read about it in Judges chapter 4:4-23. That's another good chapter to read. And then we see Samson, another judge. He was a mighty warrior against the God's armies, enemies, and Philistines. And you can read all about Samson in Judges 13-16. And when you think of Samson, we're inclined to judge Samson by his weakness. Now, he wasn't weak, right? Physically, he was very strong. But God looked at him because of his faith. And God, Samson did mighty, mighty things for God. And he prevailed. But at the end, we know the story. I remember Poppy Hale, my grandfather, that I sit on his lap, and he would tell me the story about Samson over and over and over and over. And I never got tired of hearing it because I thought it was so fast. Fascinating how he could take the jawbone of a donkey and just wipe out a whole enemy against the Lord, and setting the foxes' tails on fire, burning up fields one after another. But Samson was commended by his faith. And then another one that's mentioned here in verse 32 is Jephthah, who is still another judge, delivered Israel from Ammonites, and you can read about that in Judges chapter 11, 1-33. He was empowered by the Spirit of the Lord, and despite his foolish ways, and he was in some of his ways, and his mistakes, God honored him by his faith in undertaking and seemingly impossible task of deliverance of the Israelites. Now, let's look at David, the beloved king of Israel, a great warrior, brought peace to Israel, defeating all of his enemies. He defeated them all. David stood out as one of the obvious great men of the Old Testament, as a lad all the way up through his kingship. His trust in the Lord began when he was a boy tending sheep, killing a lion, a bear, taking on Goliath with a slingshot. So like other heroes of faith, David was not perfect by all means. If you want to read about his confession in Psalms chapter 51, which is a brilliant repentance to God to restore his salvation so that he would continue to be used and empower others and lead others to the Lord. Matter of fact, there was a song written about that very chapter by Keith Green, and a wonderful, wonderful chapter to read and understand. So, but God called him a man after his own heart in Acts 13:32, and also in Samuel as well. Now let's go to Samuel. The last judge of Israel was a very wise leader. You know why he's wise? Because he listened to God. He obeyed God. And his mother dedicated him to the Lord before he was even born. But when he was born, he grew up, Eli, in the kingdom there. And God used him mightily, and God blessed those who come under his leadership. He also was a prophet. Samuel also was with all the prophets, served God faithfully and conveyed God's word on often to rebellious people. Even though the people were rebellious, he still preached to them, just like Isaiah in chapter 6. God said, you preach to them, and they're not going to listen, but preach to them anyway. And that's what Samuel did, and he was a great, great leader for God. So these men of faith were of every age. I would say they're of every temperance. They were shepherds, statesmen, prime ministers, psalmists, poets, border chiefs, and prophets. They filled many shoes, and you know, today we fill many shoes in our life, but the shoes that we fill and follow through with the Lord will count the most. And they are all trophies of faith. Their circumstances and trials were widely different, but through all their victories was faith watchman. It says, God is able. That's how they looked at God. God is able to work and fulfill anything, and he will see it done. And those three words, God is able, was their motto. They knew that God was with them and would be with them, just as he is with us today. No, nothing is impossible with God. So there's no kind of need, trial, persecution, or experience for which faith is not sufficient answer. And these men knew that. So it is a master key for every lock of difficulty. All we got to do is go to the Lord. See, think about this. It takes more faith to endure than it does to escape or run. Takes more faith to endure. It really does. All right, now let's look at the achievements of faith. And that involves you and me in verse 33 and 34. And just to give you a highlight of what verse 33 and 34 is talking about, it concerns the statements about the achievements of these men's faith. And the characteristics that binds these achievements together is a statement here in verse 33. It's by saying, who by faith. I like that. Now, in your translation, it might say by through faith. But in a New American Standard, it says who by faith. By faith, they believed. They trusted God. They followed through. They was obedient. They endured. They persevered. And that's why it says, who by faith. Faith in God and His Word is what enabled them to do what they could not have done otherwise have done. Now, what's this application for us today? And that's what I want to share from here out with this. As we think about our faith in the Lord, how God purposed us to be here on this earth, how He purposed us to be here this morning, and as we read and study and hear messages such as this on faith, it should empower us, because we know that God is able to do whatever He chooses to do, and He chooses to work through your life and my life, and we can see great things happen. So we too can experience victory through faith in Christ. And we have, you know, experiences similar to those here in the Old Testament, these saints. However, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, our victories will be differently related to the role that God plays in our life or wants us to do. Your life may not include some of the dramatic things that they went through, events that's recorded here, but it is surely includes moments where your faith is tested. And by the way, has your faith been tested this week? Yeah, all of us have. What was the result? What's the result of our testing when God tested us? It might be our conduct. It might be our motivation. It might be our trust. It may be our obedience. It might be testing in areas that see where our faith is really strong. And of course, Satan's going to work on your weakness. Wherever you're weak, that's where he's going to attack you. But God looks at you and will enable you to overcome any temptations. And that's what Paul says, that he will help us in our weaknesses. And he'll always provide that mercy in time of need, in mercy. Now, through our experiences now, we can give testimony to those moments through our experiences, and we all can do that. It can be publicly, honestly, and thereby encourage the faith of others as they see us tested and we persevere through our test in faith. Even through our bodies deteriorate and die, we will live forever because of Christ, because Christ died for our sins. And in the promised resurrection, even death will be defeated, according to scriptures, and Christ's victory will be made complete. Now, this chapter summarizes the life of great men and women, men and women of faith. It summarizes it, this latter part of Hebrews chapter 11. And some experienced outstanding victories, even over death. They lived. They persevered through it. But others were severely mistreated, some tortured, and some of our prophets that we know and we read about, and even were killed. And we know that happened to the apostles. Many, all of them died except one, John, of martyrdom. So having a steadfast faith in God does not guarantee a happy, carefree life. But we persevere anyway. See, our faith almost guarantees some form of hardship from this world. And we don't give up. We persevere. So on earth, where we stand, where we live here on this earth, we may never see the purpose of our suffering. Oftentimes you might say, why am I going through this? Why do I have to endure this? Well, it all because of sin entered the world back thousand years ago with Adam and Eve. We can't blame them, because if we was put in the same situation, what do we know? How we would respond and how we would act. When you see something good on a tree, it's delightful to the eyes, and it, you know it's going to be good. You're tempted, right? You're tempted every day to do something you know that's not right for you as a Christian. And therefore, Satan said, it's okay. Nobody's around. Nobody's looking. Nobody's watching you. Go ahead and do it. That's where the test comes in our life. And that's the test of faith. I trust God over the world and the things that I'm tempted with. And any time something like that happens and we fall through, is that those things bigger than God? If we put up a wall between us and what that circumstance is, are we saying those things are bigger than God? Not in my book. God is the one we trust no matter what. So, our faith guarantees us hardship sometimes. And on this earth, we may never see a purpose of our suffering, but we know that God will keep his promises to us. We are to hold on to God, never give up, and never give in. The Old Testament heroes of faith are cheering you on. That's what it tells us here in the book of Hebrews, this chapter here. They're cheering us on because they experienced it, we have experienced it, but they're cheering us on because they know that if we hold true in faith in our God, we will prevail. So in our closing this morning, we too experience triumph through faith in Christ. He won the victory. Amen? At Calvary, he was buried. He rose again. He won the victory over death. And our triumph over oppressors are circumstances. We may have people oppressing us, or we may have circumstances that are coming down on us. And maybe like those of the Old Testament saints. But more likely, our triumphs will be directly related to obeying God and doing whatever he leads us to do. That's where our triumph will be. So faith extends us into the fullness of God. And that is the fullness of God. When you think about faith and we think about the power of God, it brings about the fullness of God in our lives. So faith makes more for us. It really does. When storms threaten, faith lifts its sails. And we go in God's direction. Now, when can't do's rules, faith creates can do. You agree with that this morning? That taps into the height, the depth, and the depth of God's love. That's what takes place. So these witnesses here in Hebrews chapter 11 of faith are telling you and me that we too can be a part of God's glorious heritage. They are now, and we will be one of these days. And we too, by faith, can do great things for God. How can we do that? We will step out in faith and attempt to do the things for God. Also is a question God now places before us. Are we willing to do it? God is able and he's willing. We step out in faith just like these men did. And they persevered and they endured and they got their reward. It's waiting for us, right? It's waiting for each one of us. I don't know about you, but I love reading these kind of stories about men of faith, because without that, we wouldn't know. And they're cheering you on. They're cheering me on each day as we endure and persevere. It's worth it, eh? Amen? It's worth it. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. No matter where we read in your word, it's inspiring, it's uplifting, it's encouraging. It teaches us. And Lord, may we be a people that are always teachable. that we can always learn something different, something new that will empower our life. Because the fullness of God can be revealed in our lives and our lives of faith as we continue to serve you, live for you, witness for you. Lord, I thank you for each one here today. I pray that each and every one of our lives will always be empowered by your Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, I must go back to the Father and the Holy Spirit will come. He will teach you all things that I have taught you. And we're still being taught. Each day we're taught through your word, through prayer. And we are enriched. We are blessed because you're our Savior, our Lord. Help each and one of us today to see your perspective on life. And through our purpose, you will reveal to each one of us our calling in this life. We praise and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing song this morning is